Let's just stand this morning. Sister Rachel, will you open in prayer for us this morning?
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, it is such a tremendous joy and privilege to be here. And to know for certainty that you are here even before we were. We just take special joy this morning in inviting you with your sweet Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just come and take over every word that's spoken, every song that is sung, and our thoughts throughout this whole service. Father, help us to keep you centered and to focus our hearts totally on you. We love you. We appreciate you. More than that, we need you so much.
Yes, amen.
So just come and take total control here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's just be ready this morning, and however the Spirit moves on you, song or prophecy or prayer, however, whatever the Lord will do this morning, just enter in. Just forget about yourself and just let everything be done for the lifting up and the building up and the comforting of the body of Christ this morning. Maybe just sing, "Come, O Lord, and overflow us with thy love." And just let the Spirit of the Lord wash over you as you sing that unto the Lord.
Thank you. No other power can save, Lord, but thine. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place. Fill all the hungry and empty within. Restore us, O Father. Revive us again. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome.
Just lift your hands and sing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name, O Lord.
your trust in Him. Give your all to Him. Surrender unto the Lord, and He will pick thee up. He will lead thee on higher plane. Oh, rejoice and be glad. Oh, rejoice this day. Lift up the Lord, and He will watch over. He will watch over thee. Just look unto Him. He is our God, our Savior. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look around. Look around. Look around, my people. Am I not doing a new thing? Shall I not give a new song to those who will look around? For behold, I do a new thing in your midst. For behold, I put a new song in your heart. So bless the Lord, give Him glory, all you people, and I shall complete the word. Hallelujah.
I'm just going to interrupt for a minute. Usually don't, but I'm noticing there seems some disconnection, and I like to ask this question. You can just put your hand up like this, so just I can see it. How many of you feel disconnected from spiritual ministry when they're singing in the spirit or prophecy, whether it's because maybe things have kind of plugged up for you and you're not able to enter in, or maybe you just don't understand it? I know there's a lot of reverence, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of entering in. Can you just go like that if you feel that maybe you're not really connected? Would you do that for me? Is there some of you that, like, when they're singing the Spirit, you'd really like the experience of being able to sing a new song, but you're not feeling there? It's good. I'm wondering if maybe there's some that would like to come up for prayer to be kind of loosened up. To whether it's prophecy or this is really important, because when it says in the Bible that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, and it goes on to talk about how the Lord brings everything into captivity, even our thoughts, it's by the Holy Spirit. It's by your ministry in song. It's by your ministry in prophecy. There is a change. You might think that what you have to contribute isn't very much. Even afterwards, you think, well, that wasn't kind of the way I wanted it to come out. It's not about you. It's about how the Holy Spirit wanted it to come out. And how that little bit that has that anointing on it affects someone else here and changes them and changes the spirit that they've come here and picks them up. And that's why it says in 1 Corinthians 14 that it's for edification and exhortation and comfort. Because when we come together and we're flowing by the Spirit, it should change us. It should encourage us. It should build us up. And we're all a part of that. God wants us to be all a part of that. You know, it says that all may prophesy. And that's God saying, I would encourage you all to prophesy. And we can, in ourselves, we can say, well, you know, that's not me, and that's not my ministry, and I'm not going to do it. And sometimes that's just fear. But the Lord wants us to be free. So, I don't know if it's for this time, but I'm just asking if there's any of you that would like to come forward to get some liberty in spiritual ministry. Why don't you just come? Don't be timid about it. Like I said last night, you know, this is family. We're family. And we're just kind of learning about that. I wished I could have learned about being a father, what I know now, before I was a father, because I wasn't a particularly good father. I pushed my children towards the church, but I wasn't present there with them. They were looking for someone with skin on, and I was too busy working. And God wants us to be community, to be family, to be there for each of you, and for you to be there for each of your brothers and sisters, to be accountable and to take each of the ones that God puts on your heart to the Lord in prayer and support them. We're to support one another. So you just come, brethren, if you'll just come and pray with the ones that are here. And you just come as the Lord puts it on your heart. Just come and let the Lord move. Again, we'd ask elders, if you see some of your people here, brethren, come on, you brethren, and just close your eyes just lift your hands and take these that are here for prayer. You pray for them too. It's not us. It's the body of Christ. You pray because your prayers make a difference. Just hold them up here.
When we're singing in a spirit, it doesn't have to be a message in it, but it can be a message in it. It even says someplace in my Bible, they prophesied with their harps. And singing in a spirit might be just singing praises to God, and it could be a message in it. So just don't worry about what if you haven't got a message in your song. Just it can be just rejoicing.
Spirit free, that I may work.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
page 35.
When they came back from Africa, Robert led our service the first Sunday and said, all over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea. I really think that sometimes when we come to church on Sundays, we are so caught up in what we've been through and what we're facing that we kind of forget who God is. And I'm not saying we do. But I know that he wants us to come with a free mind and a free heart. And you say, that's hard to do. It's hard to do to sing praises when you had a flat tire coming over here, isn't it? It's hard to do when maybe there's a bill due on the table. Back at the house, and you're concerned about it. It's hard to do when you've kind of watched the television set a little too much, and when you come to church, you're not quite ready. And I'm not putting anyone down. It's hard to do, but God says that he has set us free. And who has been set free is what? Free indeed. Some of the ones that came up here said, you know, I read and I've been filled with the Spirit. And I said, well, do you speak in tongues? Well, I haven't in a long time. I said, you know, that's freedom too. I said, it's wonderful to be filled with the Spirit, but you're by yourself. I said, no one's going to kind of look at you and say, what are you doing? It's just you and God. And you can get in that quiet place. And you can read his word. You can have that quiet, wonderful relationship with him. And then, behold, you can just say a few words in tongues. You can just let her rip. I mean, who's watching you? God. Nobody else. So why should you fear that? God has not given us the spirit of fear, has he? But a sound mind and body. And Jesus didn't tell us that if you believe on me, you're going to be all blocked up. And there's nothing going to flow much. You got to work at it. You got to get down and just kind of labor with it. Sometimes you have to persevere, but to get free. And he says, if you believe on me, what? Out of your belly shall not be a dam. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So when you come here, your belly is full of living water. Let her rip. Now, I've been a little bit quieter this time, and I haven't shouted as much as I usually do. But the Lord's taking me down a little bit different path, and I don't shout as much. But when I do, oh, I feel like I've been set free. And I would like to talk to you a few minutes about one of the hardest books in the world to talk about. And that's the book of Job. But I'm going to come at it at a different angle. If everyone here knows their Bible, they've probably read Job. How many have read Job? What do you think about it? Is it a hard book? I can't wait till I get to the good part. I tell you one thing, that poor old boy man went through it, didn't he? But God says so many wonderful things, and he had so much. And I would like to cue in on what God said to Job. I want us to start seeing the omnipotence of our God, the might of our Creator. David touched a little bit this when John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. And in the beginning, Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. And that Word was with God, and that Word was God. And it says, everything was made by Him. And you talking about a mind blower. I thought God made everything. Well, he did. But over and over it says, through the Son. Through the Son. The world was made not by him, but through him, it says in John. Let me just get that. I don't want no confusion on that. But I want to say that before I get to the creation a little bit in Job. And it's the first chapter of John. I hope David is okay with me reading his word. But it was on my heart, creation and these wonderful things of God. And I have been kind of shouting in the midst of some pretty heavy things. But hallelujah. That's what we've been doing this past couple days, haven't we? And the Spirit has just moved through us. Oh, I thought it was a wonderful meeting last night. Lots of freedom of praise. But I want to just read this just to give you a little bit of background and a cue into the Job area. I'm going to start at number one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, and of course, God the Holy Spirit. Amen? He was in the beginning with God. All things. And you talk about, to me, it was mind-blowing. I said, Lord, you're just going to have to help me with this. I cannot understand this. All things were made through Him. Who are they talking about that? Jesus. The Father made all things through the Son. Do you believe that? And without Him, nothing was made that was made. The Son was put in authority over all. So that one day, He would take the kingdom and present it back to God. And He would Himself be subject unto God. So that God would be all in all. All things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him was life. Now, I don't want you to kind of start thinking about other things. These words are so important right here. I want you to just cue into what He's saying, what Scripture is saying. That in Him was life. But there's something about this life I want you to see. And the life, here it is, was the light of men. When God says, let your light shine, what does He mean? Have you really thought about it? Let your light shine. If Jesus lives in you, He gives you life, doesn't He? And what is Jesus in you? Light. When you let the light of Christ come in you, then there is not darkness comes out. Light comes out. Hallelujah. Because life is light. Can you say that after me? Life is light. Say it again. Life is light. So when others see the light of Christ in you, they see the light, don't they? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, who came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light which gives life to every man that comes into the world. He was in the world. And who's He speaking of? Jesus. He was in the world, and this ties it in. The world was made through Him. Oh, glory to God. Our Savior, our High Priest, our intercessors, God made the worlds through Him. He knows our every being because He created us. He knows us. He knows our every thought. He knows our struggles. He knows our pain. And the world did not know Him. He came into His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Spiritual birth. I'm going to go to Job 38. Understand, Job has been through tremendous loss of his possessions, his family. All but his wife were taken away. Just think about that. Isn't that something? And then the Lord allowed Satan to hit his body. And he had sores from head to toe. And he sat in the middle of the ashes and he just scraped his sores. But I don't want us to dwell on that right now, because a lot of us are going through things, but maybe not to the extent Job did. But I want us to hear what God said to Job, because it lifted my spirits and I saw this in the light, because I was always reading the woes of Job, but I never did just kind of get into the power of the scriptures and what God said. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me." I'll get on that in a little bit about the world and their questions and what Job, this righteous man Job, and his questions. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Are you wondering why you have to go the way you go? God was telling Job, he said, "I cursed the day I was born. I wish I was never born." He didn't curse God, but he said, I feel worthless. He says, "This thing has overtaken me so much." But God is answering a righteous man to take him a little bit further into himself, to reveal himself and the reasons why God does what he does. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements?" Surely you know. Do you think that with your science and the classes and everything, you can know the measurements of the earth? "Surely you know. Who stretched a line upon it? To what was its foundations fastened?" Have you ever thought about that? How that God set each planet in orbit and set their foundations, and they're not being moved? They stay in that perfect circle all the time. "Or who laid its cornerstone?" And here's the verse that I saw for the first time and really saw, and I rejoiced. "During this time," it says, "when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine? One of the brothers says, "Can you imagine about this song? The morning stars singing." I go out in the sky when I heard that. The morning stars singing. And and the sons of God. This was at the creation. Where do these sons come from? That was my imagination. Lord, what happened? Were they there for you in the beginning? I don't know. But it's fun to wonder, isn't it? It is for me. When the morning stars sang together, oh, how would you like to have been right there? And all the sons of God shouted. You talk about a shout. Whoo! If I stayed on that and we just rejoiced in that, I could step off this podium and be, oh, just be singing, praise the Lord for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen? Well, verse 8. You ever thought about the ocean? Who shut in the sea with doors? When it burst forth and issued from the womb, God created the seas, and there was a birthplace for the sea. And it was issued from the womb. When I made the clouds its garment, and the thick darkness its swaddling band? I don't even conceive such a thing. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors on it and said, this far you may come, but no further. I used to sit on the ocean side and wonder why the ocean only comes so far, but never comes up. I can sit back a ways, and it never comes to me. I have to go to it. There is a limit. You say, well, how about hurricanes? We're not talking about calamity. We're talking about God's order and that wonderful seashore and how the waves and everything come to a certain point and they stop because of God's command through the Son. And here your proud ways must stop. What was God revealing to Job? You may be righteous, and you are. And you've done well because in the beginning it said the sons of God came together. And then Satan come walking in the midst of him. And he says, well, where you been going, Satan? He said, been walking to and fro on the earth. You know, I can't conceive that. I mean, that's just above me. He said, have you considered my servant Job? What a thought that God would say. And I've often said, one day, when the sons of God come together, and I say, where you been, Satan? Walking to and from the earth. Have you considered my church? Do you believe that? Have you considered my church? Hallelujah. Your proud ways must stop. Have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in the search of its depths? How deep is the ocean? Those that think that I'm somebody or got something and I see this might, this creation, And it's just a tip of the iceberg. They say the DNA cell, or the DNA, is just, it's so long. I can't remember how long it is. You students of math and everything can tell me what's in one DNA or one cell. How much is in that? And God created it all. Long as I live, my glory shall fill all the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen? And I was brought up to another understanding when I read this on verse 19. Where is the way to the dwelling of the light? Joe, you're a righteous man. You say that you've got a lot of knowledge and so forth. Where does light dwell? Where is the way to it? In the darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home. I never thought about it like that. That even darkness and the edges of light has a home, has a place. Have you? Think about it. Where did light come from? Then he says, have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hail? And I said, Lord, there is a treasury of hail? I'm not talking about hail like you. I'm talking about hail balls. The things that whack your window and you have to call the insurance when it rains and the right, the two forces come together and cold air meets hot air and all of a sudden, bam, 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 bam. Here comes a little bitty thing about like that. Sometimes they exaggerate. Oh, they're about like baseballs. And I said, I've never seen a hail like a baseball, but I guess there are. And you look out your car and it looks like somebody took a plunger and went boom, 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 boom all over it. Have you seen the treasure of hail which I have reserved for the time of trouble? Did you know that? God has a treasure of hail that he's reserved for the end time. If you don't believe it, read Revelations. One of the plagues is hail coming down the weight of a talent. Have you ever seen that scripture? That's what God is saying here. I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war, my judgment. The Lord continues to talk about the path of the east wind and the rain on desolate wasteland and causes grass to grow there where there is no man. There is a desolate area that God created that no man is there, but God still rains, allows rain to rain on it, and the grass grow. He takes care of everything, does he? I was in this message when I led the service, and I said, George Beverly say he made the whole world through his hands, made the whole world. And that's the reason why I said that like I did. Then I said he made the tiny little baby with his hands. God is so wonderful. And when we see that omnipotence and how that he sends his son to die just for you and me, and how insignificant you may feel, but how much is the glory of God, and how He has taken us into a little glimpse of what His power is through these scriptures. I feel like I understand God's power a little more. I know He's powerful, and we say the words, but to understand the depths, to me, is a privilege. And you said, why would you need to know that privilege? So that I will not try to give myself the glory in anything. He is the one that should receive all glory and honor and praise. If you come in here and you are worshiping God, all you should think about, oh Lord, you love me so much. You are going to be sung to. I'm going to join the morning stars, and we're going to sing. And the sons of God, which you are, I hope, are going to shout. Oh, you talking about being stirred up? We don't have no fear then, do we? We're singing. And we're shouting. Oh, I almost want to shout it. Hallelujah! Excuse me. Hallelujah! Excuse me again. Hallelujah! Now let it out. Praise the Lord. Then he asked the question, has the rain a father? Did you know how the rain has a father, Terry? Yes. From whose womb comes the ice? He created the ice. And the frost of heaven, who gave it birth or gives it birth? He said, oh, I know that. All you got to do is bring a little bit of cold air and the right kind of temperatures in that frost. No, God created the frost. Just like He put the rainbow in the sky. It wasn't always there. Do you believe that? And why was it there? You students of the scriptures, why is the rainbow there? That's a promise, isn't it? That I will not destroy the world with water again. Praise the Lord. Every time I see a rainbow, do you think about the promise of God? Or do you enjoy its colors? I enjoy its colors. Don't get me wrong. I love the colors of a rainbow. I was up in the mountains and I saw two or three of them. And I was just having a ball. And one of them was so close I could almost reach out and touch it. I said, oh, I wonder if I found the beginning of this rainbow. And I went around the other curve and it was gone. But can you imagine? Andy, can you imagine? You know what? Who can number the clouds by wisdom? Who provides food for the raven when his young ones cry to God? You know, the God sees the ravens, the young ones of the ravens. And you worry about, does He see your cry? And wonder about for lack of food. I'm just going to bring two more, then I'm going to get to some scriptures. God talks about the behemoth, which is a large land animal. I looked everywhere to try to get some kind of description, but the best description is a large animal, exact identity not known. But it's one big animal. And somebody is study theologian says he thinks it's the hippopotamus. But this is bigger than the hippopotamus. If you want to find out, just go in there and read the scriptures. Or the Leviathan. Some people say it's a crocodile. But let me just say the wisdom of man, how foolish it is. Hear what God says about the Leviathan? Out of his mouth goes burning lamps. Now, this is not a mythical thing. This was really a creature in that day. And sparks of fire leap out of his mouth. Out of his nostrils goes smoke. His breath kindles coals. And a flame goes out of his mouth. You know, I hate to be around a creature like that, wouldn't you? They said it was a large sea creature. Exact identity unknown. No one knows the depths of God or even touch the surface of his knowledge. Amen? This was all done to show Job the depth of the knowledge of God. And yet the surface of declaring his wisdom and might was barely shown. But he showed enough so that we can see through a window and see with a little more clarity what the Almighty is and how wonderful his ways are. And Job, his omnipotence revealing to him. He began to reveal to Job his omnipotence. I have a little trouble with my eyes, and I said that before. I'm going to try to get them fixed, but I messed up on that word. But his omnipotence he was showing Job. Because he wanted Job to know he had the whole world in his hands. He had Job's life in his hands. He's got you in his hands. The scope of the peoples of the earth questioned things about God they do not know and say in their hearts when calamity strikes, why did God do this or that? Why would a holy God allow this to happen? Because they don't fear God. They don't know him. Nor do they understand because his ways are not known to them. Job had no answer, but his perspective changed when God showed him his glory, his might. When God reveals himself to us, we change. Amen. We sing that song, free, free, free. For I have been set free. For I have met the man of Galilee. He took away my load, my heavy load of shame. And now I'm singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Job 42 says, Then Job answered the Lord and said, you can do everything. He was a righteous man. He wasn't just saying it for the sake of saying it. It was inside him. You can do everything, and no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. How many times have we done that? Uttered what we did not understand. Things too wonderful for me. which I did not know. Job goes on and says, listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. God said he wants Job to answer him. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. All my life, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now, through what your testings, your trials, your things that you brought me through, now my eye seeth you. Therefore I abhor myself, despise myself, and repent in dust and ashes. What else could we do? But repent. God, why did you allow this to happen? Or this? I'll tell you in a few more minutes what God, another scripture that says the reason why God did this to Job. If by the experiences that God allows us to go through, we are brought into a deeper knowledge of God, then our faith can be made stronger. And we can believe the scriptures. Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We hear his word, and God reveals himself to us, and we believe, don't we? God has given us direction on how we shall understand some of the things he would have us to know. Isn't that wonderful? And it's found in Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Oh, hallelujah. God has revealed himself to his church. And day by day, hour by hour, he is revealing more and more and more of himself to us. The experiences that you go through, they may not be like Job, but they are meant for a reason for you to know God and to rest in his great, wonderful will for us. Hallelujah. We are coming to a place of not doing things because we have to. And they spoke to the other night that about the law and how that we have to sue the law and we have to do this and we have to do this, but we're free. The law of life in Christ Jesus had made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. And we were in a place, we did things because we have to, right? But by loving God and doing the things he commands, because they are written on the tables of our hearts, and being written on the tables of their hearts, we love our Creator. We start loving him more and more because he has written his laws and his purpose on our hearts. And we don't do things because we have to. We do things because we want to. We do things because we love him. We do things because we don't want him to be hurt by what we do. He loves us so much. Had an elderly woman that came to our assembly. Her name was Maddie. I don't know if any of you ever heard of her. Probably not. But she was elderly, and she was by herself, I think, in Kentucky. And she came to be at our church, and they put her up in a room and so forth. And she, about every Sunday, would just say, "Oh, I love God. Oh, I love Him. And I just want to please Him." She couldn't say much more. How did she get that way? Through these wonderful years that she lived, she learned to love God as He loved her. And out of her heart poured, because she had much, didn't have much control of her mind. "I just want to please Him." Isn't that a good reason? Because you love Him? To obey Him? If God has a purpose for creation, He more so has a purpose for His children. That we should be called the sons of God. And I come back to that scripture again. And the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. Praise His name. If He takes care of the raven's young and the uninhabited parts of the earth, hallelujah, how much more will He take care of you, His chosen, His people, His children, His sons and daughters. God has you in His hands. The steps of your life are ordered of the Lord. Rest in that wonderful Creator who made heaven and earth and is making and remaking you. He's changing you and me. Amen? Into His likeness. I don't want to stay in this state. I want to keep going and being changed and changed until I'm in His likeness. And as Psalm says, when I fall asleep, I'll wake in His likeness. Oh, hallelujah. How blessed it is to be changed into His likeness. James 5, verse 7. James 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren. What is God teaching us through all these things? Patience, perseverance, right? Until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmers wait for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Glory to God. You also be patient. God is not through with you yet. Aren't you glad? Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Hallelujah! Isn't that shouting words? The coming of the Lord is at hand. But He's coming forth in you. In His fullness. Do not grumble, groan against one another, brethren, We've been talking about unity this week and not being divided. Do not groan against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. You're being watched. 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Tribulation worketh patience. Amen. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. God calls you blessed as you endure day by day, hour by hour. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen, and this is the reason, see the end intended by the Lord. Lord has a reason for what. It wasn't Satan doing what he wanted. God just allowed. God had a reason for letting Satan do that to Job. Because he had a purpose intended by the Lord for Job. And in our life, in your life, in my life, God has an intended purpose for us to be his sons. And how he works out our salvation with, he says, with fear and trembling. And to be patient, and to seek his face, and to love the Lord thy God with all thy might, with all thy soul, with all thy heart. That's being born in our hearts and stamped. His image is being stamped in our hearts. Oh, glory to God. Seeing the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is what? Somebody said, well, that's awful. Who are you to reply against the Lord? That's what the world does. Why did God do this? And why did God do this? Well, I can give them two or three answers, but I'm not going to say it right now. Because they turned their backs against the one who created them. By the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Oh, read Lamentations 3. So I was down in the pit, my teeth were sharp as gravel. I was gritting my teeth. I was having a hard time in that pit. But I still come to realize, seeing all these things behind me, the things that the Lord allowed me to go through. If it was not for his mercies, we would be consumed. We see his mercies afresh every morning. Oh, saints of God, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, we go, oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Who am I that I should receive that graciousness from my God? Who am I? Who are you? You're the one God has put his love on you. God says, I didn't choose you because you're the greatest people on the earth, for you are few. Or the proudest, or the tallest, or whatever. I chose you because I loved you. I see your mercies fresh every morning. I wake up some morning and I said, hot dog, I got some new mercies this morning. Lord, I did something I shouldn't have done yesterday. Forgive me for that. But hallelujah. This morning, I got it anew again. Hallelujah. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, praise the Lord. But above all, my brethren, do not get so weary and swear, either by heaven or earth or by any other earth, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment or hypocrisy. We have a tendency to want to say, why me? Sometimes. Or, you know, I do some work on the outside, and sometimes I'm hammering on something and it's not going just right, and I hammer a little bit harder, and I hammer a little bit harder, and all of a sudden it slips and hits my finger. And have you all been through it? Oh, you have to bite your tongue. But accept what God has for us without saying why. God has intended for you sonship. He wants you to be in that company that's there right now, shouting with joy. And hallelujah, we can be here right now in that company, shouting with joy. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Praise the Lord anyhow. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, let the Lord by the Holy Spirit rule in your lives. And let your decorations be silent. Commit the keeping of your souls to a faithful Creator. God knows what He's doing. He knows every one of you, why you are who you are. If you just love Him and accept what He has done and what He is making out of you, all your life will be so much easier. My life would be so much easier. Amen? Who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceedingly joy. He is the one able. He, the one that created the frost, is able to keep you from falling. Isn't He? He, the one that put the gates on the sea and told the proud waves, this is as far as you come and no further. Is He able to keep you from falling? Hallelujah. This loving Creator will bring you through what trial or test or suffering that He has prepared for each one to bring them into the conclusion, as Job did. I had uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth you. King Uzziah, in the day of King Uzziah, I saw also the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and His train fills the temple. And the seraphims sing, "Holy, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let the whole earth be full of His glory. And let His glory fill the saints of the Most High." The joy of the Lord be your strength. 2 Corinthians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comfort us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble or tribulations, as we are comforted." One day we can help someone else do the same thing, can't we? Pray for one another, support one another, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. With the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. This is almost like a benediction scripture, but it's the closing scripture, Jude 24. "Now to Him who is able," we saw through all of Job that He is able, didn't we? "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceedingly joy. To our God and Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen and amen and amen." What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I looked upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. Oh, what a day. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, sing it again. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. May the grace of our God be upon us all. May His love show forth within us all. May we commit ourselves unto Him who judges righteously and keeps us until that perfect day. May His blessings be upon our going in and our coming out. May the blessings of the Lord be upon your homes and upon your children and your grandchildren and your loved ones and your neighbor.
May you be called blessed. And may others say about you, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. May your light shine by the glory of God who lives within you. May that fountain overflow with rivers of living water. May you be comforted this day with the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Any announcements?
The preschoolers were going to go swimming today, and the pool is closed for maintenance. So we will still meet at 3 o'clock at the bottom of the cloud room and be ready to go outside at the end of our time together for an egg hunt.
The rest of the children will meet in the cloud room at 2 o'clock, and parents and children, you'll be going over to the old dining hall to spend some time with the seniors at 3.
Thank you, brother, for bringing that message to us. I'm just going to give you an incident here related to what I'm going to share with the young people for the rocket launch. Just last summer... this just shows how to honor God and how he overrides and he's all powerful. So we had prepared our launch, everything ready to go, and Brother Luff and Brother Prasad had this little discussion of who was going to go first in shooting the rocket off. And so they decided Brother Prasad was. So what happens is that his rocket does a spin, lands on the ground, starts the grass on fire, like the grass that I'd looked before was green, and below it, here was all this dead grass. Flames jumped up just like that, but we were able to run down, snap it out, and it was good. I think that the Lord, this is how I feel, that the God all, being all-powerful, overruled, had that rocket land close where we could put it out instead of one that would go over and way far away and start where we couldn't have done anything about it. So, honor to God. Anyways, rocket launch today. Tom Schmidt has approved the site. He's said it's a good site, and I've gone and looked at it too. It's right beside water. The ground is wet underneath, but dry enough that we can walk on it, just so you know. So stand up all the people that could provide rides. I've already talked about quite a few, but would you stand up, please, so everybody know who they are? Yeah, and if you want to go, just stay standing for a second, please. Anybody else who wants to go, we need some for, because everybody's welcome to come and watch. Okay, so would you be sure, thank you, be sure you talk to one of those people, make sure that you have a ride. We have about 20 people, roughly, and for those that aren't here, if anybody can help me with Wayne Amundsen or someone from his family that has one, if you could speak to me after so that we can, like, we're going to have to take a video of it for them. We can take videos, anybody who would like to do that. Okay, so meet outside here, outside the tabernacle at 2:25. And then we'll get in the vehicles at 2:30. And we will arrive at no later than 3 o'clock and start firing them off. So how to get there? Go out that door, go to Territorial Drive, turn left at Territorial Drive, go to stoplights that way, south, turn on the highway, go to the Western Development Museum, which is Highway 40 that goes to Prince Albert, go there 11.7 kilometers or 7 miles, and you'll see a sign that says Richard Ulnick. He's the farmer that's given us the permission. And go through his yard and just keep following and right out to the field. And I'll put another sign out in front of the tabernacle for later.
My father-in-law has ensured me this is all going to work out, so, and it has, so thank you. I just want to thank those people that helped with the after-service snack and just remind that the people that I've asked to come and help out tonight is Saskatoon and Calgary. So if you can help, we only need about 6 or 7 people, so if you could come, that'd be great. Thanks.
This is for helping in the dining room tonight, today, at lunch and at supper. We're fairly well looked after for lunch, but there's quite a few names missing still for supper. So Manitoba, Ontario, United States of America, BC and Regina, please still go have a look and see where you could put your name for jobs in the kitchen, dining hall. Thank you.
The seniors meet again at 3 o'clock. We're past the rocket stage, but we'll have a surprise for you, so come and see. That's at the dining hall. Thank you.
You're dismissed.